comparable to tenants, Matthew 21, verses 33 to 46, by Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract. Jesus tells a memorable story in Matthew 21, verses 33 to 46, of some tenant farmers who refused to pay the rent at harvest time. Not only did the story have application to the circumstances of Jesus' ministry among the Jews of his own time, it has a broader application to all humans of all times. The passage looks like this, Matthew 21, 33 to 46. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone'? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. Well, see what the story is here. A landowner develops some of his land to be a vineyard, plants vines in it, builds a wall, a wine press, the watchtower. He rents the vineyard out to tenants, and he goes away on a journey. At harvest time, he sends his servants to collect the rent. Instead of paying the rent, the tenants mistreat, even kill some of the servants. The owner finally sends his son. Perhaps the tenants have been claiming that the servants are bogus. We don't know. The tenants plot together to kill the son, presumably to take the property. Well, as they say, perhaps they assume the owner has died. Jesus' question at the end of the parable, what will the owner do when he shows up? Note that the narration stops before the owner actually comes. The audience replies, "He will kill the tenants and rent the vineyards to others." What's the significance of this parable? Well, in its immediate context, the Pharisees and the priests realize it's talking about them. That the owner is a picture of God. That the tenants are a picture of the Jewish leaders. And that God will bring disaster for their rejecting Jesus, whom they see as pictured here by Jesus as the owner's son. But I suggest it's got a broader significance as well. That it's a picture of God and mankind. God here is pictured as a landlord. You remember, if you've read C.S. Lewis's allegory, Pilgrim's Regress, that's the picture he uses to represent God. May well have gotten the idea from this passage. And the humans are pictured as tenants. Just as the landlord makes good provision for the vineyard, so God makes good provision for us. Just as the landlord rents out the vineyard, so God has entrusted us with our life, our abilities, our time, friendship, opportunities. The landlord goes away. How does that work in most of our lives? Huh? Well, God has set up things in this world so that he is typically silent and invisible. compare Psalm 50, where I remained silent and you thought I was just like you. Then the landlord sends servants. Well, God sent the Old Testament prophets to the Israelites, and Jesus and the apostles to the New Testament Jews, to the nations around Israel as the apostles went out. He sent the Bible to us in the centuries following, and preachers and evangelists and such. So the landlord has had his servants all through this period. The landlord is very patient, but he doesn't cancel the rent. God is very merciful, but he can't ignore what we're doing and what we aren't doing, and what is right and what is wrong, because God is just. The landlord sends his son. God sends his son. Now, in the landlord sending his son in this parable, the emphasis is not here on Jesus' atoning death, though notice that they do kill the heir, but it's on the aggravated rebellion of the tenants in the face of God's mercy. And finally, the landlord comes. God will finally come in judgment. Well, what about this picture of humans, humans as tenant farmers of God, huh? Well, just as the tenant farmers there were obviously ungrateful, so we see that again and again pictured in regard to the way humans behave. Paul puts it this way in Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, speaking of humans in general, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And just as the tenants in the story misread the landlord's patience as softness, so humans tend to do that with God as well. Psalm 50, verse 21. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you. The fact that God doesn't intervene, some people take that for either God being soft or God not even existing. Huh? The tenants may have misread the absence of the landowner and the sending of his son as that the landowner had passed away, and so humans sometimes misread God's absence as though God is dead. Peter pictures this in 2 Peter 3:4, where he says, "The scoffers in the last day, they will say, 'Where's this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.'" And just as the tenants think to take the property of the landlord for themselves, so we as humans have a tendency to appropriate God's property as though it's our property. You see that already back in the Garden of Eden when Satan tells Eve, Genesis 3:5, "God knows that when you eat of it, a forbidden fruit, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Desire to be like God. But disaster lies ahead. We see that in the parable. The landlord is coming. And that's what the Bible tells us about God, too. Disaster is coming. In Deuteronomy 32:35, God says, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay. In due time, their foot will slip. Their day of disaster is near, and their doom rushes upon them." This was the text of Jonathan Edwards' famous sermon, "Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God." Well, that's the end of the parable, and the question is, will we take it to heart? The end is not yet. There is still time to repent. I trust that you may, if you need to.